The of Scripture comes this morning from the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. There the apostle is training the eyes of the saints in Thessalonica on that last day. And the days before that last day when Jesus comes again, which will be darkness. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light, and the children of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophecies. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who will also do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Especially verse 17, as we go to the catechism, pray without ceasing. Lord's Day 45, page 25 in the back of your Psalters, Lord's Day 45. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? The answer, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give his grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. Question 117. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which he will hear? Answer first, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested himself in his word, for all things he hath commanded us to ask of him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of his divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that he, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as he has promised in his word. Question 118. What hath God commanded us to ask of him? Answer, all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer that he himself has taught us. What are those words of that prayer? Will you please read that prayer with me now? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, prayer is the need and the calling of every child of God. Our catechism instructor, quite often I refer to him with a dear name, the old Heidelberger, but some of you get hungry when I say that, so I'm going to call him our catechism instructor. He points out the way that we show our thankfulness for our salvation. And there's two ways. We show our thankfulness, first of all, by our obedience, and therefore we looked at the Ten Commandments. What does God require of us? And now he points out we show our thankfulness by our prayers. What an instructor we have here. I want you to notice that we have a command here. Notice, he says, why is prayer necessary? And in the first answer, he says, because God requires it of us. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable? He has commanded us to ask certain things of him. Again, question 18, what hath God commanded us to ask of him? Requirement. Now you say, why? Why would that be required? Shouldn't it come naturally? You and I, who are so thankful for what God has done for us. And moreover, our catechism instructor says, what is required of all true Christians? Surely, praying should be like breathing. It just happens because in our hearts we seek him, we love him, and we express that love to him. But if we're honest, there is a painful, there is an oppressive lack of prayer. What we need is to hear over and over from the Word of God who God is, what he has done to instill in us that thankfulness that we want to talk to him and say, we thank you, Lord, for this. And now in this chapter here, 1 Thessalonians, it's going to become increasingly dark in the world as sin continues to prevail, and finally there's even the Antichrist coming, forbidding worship of God, putting to death God's saints. And then God's children need to be urged, have confidence, have trust. Your God in heaven will hear you and will send help for you. And finally, the Lord Jesus himself will descend from heaven. So we need We need to see our absolute requirement, need for prayer. We need to come like Jesus' disciples who had witnessed him praying many times. And they came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. So our theme is praying without ceasing. Notice first of all the meaning of that, then the reasons for it, and thirdly the characteristics of that kind of prayer. Praying without ceasing. Question 116 implies that God's people need to pray regularly and habitually. Pray regularly and habitually. Prayer is not like this fire extinguisher that you pick up only once in a while if there is a fire in your house. Nor is prayer the impious cries that come from the lips of many. Statements of acclamation where they say, oh my God, Jesus Christ. Not in order to really call upon God, but to impress others how tough they are. Prayer is not just the routine expressions that we have for God. And prayer is certainly not an instrument that we use in order to change God's mind. How many think of prayer, and they use that phrase, prayer changes things? No, it doesn't. The things that God has planned for us, He will certainly carry them out, but prayer does change us, so that we submit to His plans and not kick against the pricks. So prayer is a proper address to the sovereign God who has revealed Himself in nature around us, who reveals Himself in our life as in His providence, but especially as He reveals Himself to you and me in His Word. Prayer is our response. God speaking to us and we respond to Him. Prayer is then a covenant conversation. How vital it is. How long does a union or a friendship continue here in the world if you never see each other, if you never talk to each other, if you don't know what's going on in one another's lives? For a friendship to continue, for a marriage to prosper, there must be dialogue between the husband and the wife, speaking of the secrets of their heart, their need for one another, their love for one another. No, we do not speak in prayer as equals, but rather we speak as children to a parent. We speak as a spouse to the one to whom we're betrothed. It means that prayer is a wonder. It means that prayer is an instrument only for the regenerated child of God. It is the malefactor on the cross when he had met Christ, and when he saw what Christ was doing, his forgiving spirit, that he says, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. It was when that new heart was given to him, because if you will remember that malefactor, both of them railed against Jesus first. It's only after a while that the one ceased and came to his other malefactor and said, shame on you. We are here justly paying for our sins. This man has done no evil. Covenant conversation. Is that what you think of when you are in your closet at night or kneeling by your bed. That God has spoken to you in His Word, and with His Word stillness in your hand, you're responding back to Him as two who are betrothed, deeply in love, the best of friends, children of the living God. Oh yes, prayer is a wonder that we are able to speak to Him who rules over the universe. Our God, our Father. And now you notice with me that the Word of God comes and commands us in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 7. He says, pray without ceasing. That's where our beloved catechism instructor gets his requirement for believers, three times stressed in this Lord's Day. It's a command. Pray without ceasing. You who are still in the world here, in these dark times, for whom Christ is coming, pray without ceasing. Now, that does not mean that our lips are all the time moving and our hands are folded 24 hours, 7 days a week, but it means that our prayer life is, first of all, habitual, and that it is regular. It's a part of our life. That's what the psalmist says. Psalm 88, verses 13 and 14. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord. In the morning shall my prayer come unto thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I'm distracted. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Listen to the psalmist, Psalm 5, verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Do you, O child of God, do you begin your day in calling upon your heavenly Father? It's habitual. It is very regular in our life, so that the psalmist says in Psalm 55, verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and will cry aloud, and He will hear my voice. Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Think of the adversaries that would come against David in his life. Psalm 109, verse 4. But I give myself unto prayer. Psalm 109, verse 22. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy. Peter, who slipped, who denied our Lord, writes to his fellow saints, 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Oh, what a beautiful thing prayer is. There's innumerable passages in Scripture that speak of prayer, both in the Old and New Testament. Throughout the whole of the Scriptures, we find that the people of God are a praying people. For without prayer, we cannot live. It is the very breath of our spiritual life. God's people cry to Him in their distress. They call upon Him in the day of trouble. They seek His grace and His fellowship. They worship and adore him. They praise him and give him thanks. Think a moment of the prayers that are recorded in Scripture of Abraham, or of Moses, or of David or Solomon, of Isaiah, of Elijah, of Hezekiah, twice in his life, when the Assyrians are assaulting him, mocking God, and later on when his life is going to be cut short. Think of Daniel's prayer. All eyes are watching. What's Daniel going to do? The king made edict that no one may pray to God. And he goes to his window facing Jerusalem, and as was his habit, he prayed. And all the remnant of the elect, by God's grace, pray. How beautiful are the prayers of the Apostle Paul and the church in the New Testament. Or think of that prayer of Jesus. Maybe take time today to read his prayer, John chapter 17. Jesus once told a parable to teach us that we should always pray and not faint. He says, of the woman that went to the judge, she kept on coming. And the judge, not because he loved her or cared for her, but because he was finally just tired of her coming, granted her request. How much more our heavenly Father in heaven will hear you and me, his children whom he loves. In the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we are admonished to continue instant in prayer. James 5, verse 16, we read, the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you see, beloved, the more that we come to know about our God, the more efficient we will be in the holy spiritual art of prayer. We'll know him better, can address him better, we'll know what he all does and what he promises, and on the basis of his word, we take it all to the Lord in prayer. How beautiful. What a blessing. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I think of that song, that hymn that goes, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Everything. What hurt, what trial, what difficulty are you going through? Are you on your knees, your hands folded, and your heart directed to the throne of God's grace? That is what that means, that daily our life is a life of prayer, of dependence, of trust, of looking to our great God. So why are we to pray without ceasing? Why is it necessary for Christians? And we said earlier, it's our vital breath, isn't it? We have a covenant relationship established for us. He is our God and we are his people, his friends, his spouse. So true prayer has these following elements in it. True prayer is, first of all, a holy activity of the entire soul, proceeding from a regenerated heart. dominated by the Spirit of Christ Jesus. My heart dominated by Christ Jesus. We cry out. It is, second of all, an activity of the believer bringing him consciously into the presence of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Is that the way you viewed what is the congregational prayer? Some call it the long prayer. Not now the pastor's prayer, but our prayer, where we consciously come into the presence of our God in the face of Christ Jesus. Thirdly, all true prayer is always an act of worship, whereby the soul prostrates itself before the glory of God's infinite majesty. And we prostrate ourselves in humble reverence. We are careful of the names that we use. We're careful of the language that we use. We stand in God's presence. True prayer is the expression of a real sense of need. We're not just going through the motions again, it's time to pray. But I need thee. As the hymn writer says, I need thee every hour. The need of God and his grace. And a profound longing for fellowship with him. A desire that he hears us and then will fulfill our needs. Do you go to God with that trust? He's my Father in heaven. He loves me. He's able to do all things. And when I ask him for the things that he promises in his word, he will give them to me. Yes, true prayer is the assurance and confidence that he will receive us, that he will give us what we ask of him, rooted in the consciousness of his great love to us. Yes, the loving God is the soul that is the only and the overflowing fountain of all good. And you and I are coming to that fountain of all good with our tiny little cups and having them filled up to the top. Coming continually with our little cups and drinking from that fountain that never goes dry. Why is prayer necessary? And our beloved catechism instructor says, first, because prayer is the chief part of thankfulness. Didn't we read in our pericope of Scripture, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? Yes, and your prayers begin with thanksgiving, with praise, adoration. We are compelled to pray to thank God for what he has and is and will do for us. Don't you and I have to confess at times that our prayer life becomes a gimme list, almost like little kids might do making a list out to Santa Claus at Christmas? Not that there is a Santa Claus. There is a God in heaven. And sometimes we act like all we have to do is run to him with whatever we think we need. But how important that we thank him for what he has done for us. Thank him for who he is, our God, for Jesus' sake. Thank him for the gifts that he gives us each day. Body and soul. Thank him. Thank him for our deliverance through the cross of Jesus Christ. Where would you and where would I be, beloved, today if there was not that cross of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all of our sin? That blood that flowed so abundantly. We can never repay him for that great gift, nor do we try. But God rejoices when we come to our prayer with our prayers of thanksgiving. Don't we really expect that of one another? When we do something for someone else, we do kind of expect them to say, thank you. We teach our children to say thanks. How much more for us as children of God, for the blessings he gives us each day, we say, we thank thee, Father. We thank thee. It is a chief part of thankfulness. How important. And we should be ashamed of our lack for that regard of giving thanks to our God. Prayer is necessary because of the blessed fruit that flows from focusing on God. Do you think about him a lot? Who he is? What he's done, what he's going to be doing? Do you know your need for the grace of God and his Spirit? Without God's grace, life would be awful. God demands that when we wake up, that we pray for his grace and his Spirit. Psalm 43, verse 3, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill. We must pray because the catechism instructor says God will give his grace and Spirit to those only who ask. God will give his grace and Spirit. Are you asking? Are you asking? I think of the psalmist in Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. Thou art my Lord. Keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Again, the psalmist says in Psalm 16, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. What confidence, what trust that gives to us, no matter what life hands us, or no matter what God causes our path to go. I'm not alone. But his hand holds me. His hand guides me. His hand preserves me. His hand presses me to his breast. God will give his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who ask him. That means he gives it in the way of us being conscious of our need, desiring his help. Pray without ceasing. Always pray. Notice with me the characteristics of true prayer. First of all, let me repeat what I've said a couple times. We have to pray from the heart. Praying from the heart, beloved, is the opposite of vain repetitions. In Matthew chapter 6, that's in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is warning his disciples, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that way they shall be heard for their much speaking. Pray from the heart. My wife and I usually, at one of the prayers during the day, will use the Lord's Prayer, a beautiful prayer. We're going to be looking at it. But the problem of always praying that prayer is it can become habitual. That is, we're saying the words without really thinking of what we're saying. Come with a real need from your heart and then pour it out before Him. What that really demands, beloved, I think, is we prepare for prayer. We don't just utter what comes into our mind, but we give thought, just as hopefully you give thought to what you say to one another. You don't blurt out just anything. So how do you prepare? With God's Word open in front of you. Hold before God's Word what He says about Himself, what He says about you, what He says about His promises, what things He commands of you. There, beloved, there you have the material for your prayer. You pray His Word back to Him. You are saying, Father, I take you at your word. You said you have created all that. My eyes look around and I see what a vast, beautiful creation you have given to me that I live in. Father, you say that you are providing for all my needs, and I'm looking to you in that need and in that trust as a little child. My Father will take care of me. Father, I take you at your word. You make promises that you will give your grace and spirit to those who ask, and I claim that right. Father, you command this and this of me, and I recognize I didn't do this. I erred. I walked in sin. May the content of our prayers be His word recited back to Him. The Spirit putting that language into our hearts that we cry out. A wholehearted, true prayer is a prayer that is active, alive, urgent, and intense. Think of King Hezekiah. The enemy, the king of Assyria, comes against him, Sennacherib, and his general, taunting. And he lays out the letter before the Lord, and he cries with all of his heart to the God who hears him. Or our Lord Jesus Christ, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood. What urgent need, what alive prayer, what an intense, urgent request. Father, take this cup away from me, if it be thy will, but not my will, thy will be done. Is that your prayer, beloved, in the morning, at noon, and at night? Alive, urgent, intense. Are your prayers wholehearted? What a beautiful song we sing, wholehearted thanksgiving to thee I will bring. In praise of thy marvelous deeds I will sing. In thee will I joy and exultingly cry. Thy name will I praise, O Jehovah Most High. We pray from the heart, urgent, intense prayers, not just the lips. Boys and girls, do you remember Hannah? She wanted a son so bad. Her lips were moving, but there was no sound. The prayer was coming from the depths of her heart, alive and urgent. Yeah, old Eli thought she was drunken. But no, that was a prayer that came from her heart. And God heard it. Second of all, the content of our prayer must be with humility. Humility, for who are we? We are saved sinners, aren't we? We come to God's throne of grace very conscious of our sins and confessing our sins. We know our sin and our misery. And we come to the throne of grace because we are assured of God's forgiveness through the blood of our Lord Jesus. We are assured of the Lord's deliverance from our sins because of the giving of His Holy Spirit to dwell within us. Humility. You remember those Pharisees strutting around like peacocks, saying many different prayers in order to be heard by the people and to be awed by them. But there is the publican in the corner of the temple, not daring to lift up his eyes to heaven. God, forgive me, a sinner. He was heard, for he came with a humble spirit, confessing his need of the Lord, while the Pharisee was strutting around, really thinking that the Lord needed him. Is that the way you pray? With a humble heart? Thirdly, the contents of our prayer must be that of faith. What a vital element of prayer. We're not just throwing empty phrases and saying, well, hopefully that helps me out. I hope God hears it. No, prayer with doubting is one of the worst things, James says. Pray without doubting. Pray with faith. Faith in your Father in heaven. He is good. He is wise. He will give us what we stand in need of for soul and for body. He has never failed his saints. Go with confidence to the throne of grace. When we pray in faith, we'll receive his answer, knowing it's for our good. Sometimes that answer is no. I think of those who might be on bed of illnesses for a long time. We pray that, if possible, the Lord would take that away. And he says, no. We don't understand it always, but he's wise. He says, this is what you need so that you depend upon that me, so that you look to me. Yes, faith. Even when God's answer to some of the things that we ask for is no. We're approaching the true and the living God, our Redeemer, the one who loves us. That must determine the contents of our prayers. What does He want to give? Oh, the content, not just whatever comes to our mind. No. Surely not that which is contrary to God's will. No. The things He promises in His Word, claim them, and His answer won't be no. For soul and body, notice the order there in this instruction, and we're going to see that in the petitions in the Lord's Prayer. Our spiritual needs, then also our physical needs. What do you pray? Boys and girls, maybe in school, your teacher has you taking turns praying. Or perhaps in society, it becomes your turn to pray. What do you pray? I would like to have you remember a word acts, A-C-T-S. What should be in your prayer? Begin with adoration. Adore God, praise Him. Then confession. As you stand before this awesome, righteous God, who am I? I'm a sinner, Father. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Confession. Then thanksgiving. Thanks for our spiritual and also our physical gifts and all that He does. And only then, finally, supplication, asking Him for the things that you need and that your fellow saints need. What a content. That is the prayer that comes before God and is pleasing to Him, rising like a sweet-smelling incense. Prepare for prayer. You come to the thrice holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Beloved in Jesus Christ, this is what you've been taught about prayer all of your life. May we not only have the right theology about prayer, but may we have also the activity of prayer. Yes, may there be some calluses on our knees as we fold our hands and close our eyes and bring ourselves to God's throne of grace. He hears and He blesses. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the privilege of prayer. Teach us, O Lord, the necessity of prayer. And then, Father, open our mouths so that the desires of our heart may flow before Thy throne. Make us, O Lord, a praying people. A dependent people, a trusting people. For we bring our prayers only in the name of and for the sake of Jesus our Savior. Amen.